2 Timothy, and I'd like to ask you to stand. This has kind of been my custom when I pastored. If you stand with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. We're going to read verse 5 together. And sometimes when I read, I mess up. And so if I mess up, you read on. And if you mess up, I'll read on. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And then we're going to read a couple other verses in chapter 3. Chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 5. Read it with me now. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Then turn to chapter 3, Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14 and 15, and we'll read those two out loud. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And we'll read those two out loud, and then we'll have prayer. So do you have it now? All right, good. Read it with me. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together around your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd anoint and help me. I need your strength and your power. Help me, Father God, bless the hearts and the minds who are here from the word of God, that they might, Father, see the need that we're going to express today. And we thank you for the scriptures and their power. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to preach on mother's influence. This is Mother's Day. I thank God for each mother that's here. If you're a mother, you know, I know you've been honored and you've been asked to stand. But if you're a mother, would you just raise your hand so I can see all the mothers? Oh, thank you. Okay, if you're a grandma, I'll put up both hands. Okay, good. All right. Mother's influence. Mothers are special creatures made to worry. There seems to be a human torch handed down to blaze the trail of their children and the things that are about to happen. They have an innate fear of the unknown concern for their children. However, isn't it wonderful when your children grow up and say, "Where were you? I've been calling 2 days and no answer. I was worried. The torch has been passed." You know, mothers have kind of an instinct that men don't have. Women have an instinct that I believe men don't have. I don't know why God has allowed them to be have this innate thing, but women seem to admire their children more than the father, I believe, in most cases. It's easier for the mother to say, "I love you," and it's easier harder for the father to say, "I love you," to your children. But I thank God for the mothers, amen. I thank God for you mothers that are here today. It is said behind every successful man is a good woman and a surprised mother-in-law. It is said the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Here's an image of mother, an image of mother. Listen to it carefully now. Here's what a 4-year-old says about mother. "My mommy can do anything." Here's what an 8-year-old says. "My mommy knows a lot, a whole lot." Here's what a 12-year-old says. "My mommy doesn't really know quite everything." Here's what a 16-year-old says. "Naturally, my mother doesn't know that either." Here's what an 18-year-old says. "The old mommy, the old woman, she's way out of date." Here's what a 25-year-old says. "Before we decide, let's get mommy's opinion." Here's what a 45-year-old says. "Wonder what mom would have thought about that." Here's what a 65-year-old says. "Wish I could talk it over with mom again." Traditionally, we celebrate Mother's Day. And this day was instituted in 1907, authorized by Congress in 1914. Here's a definition of the mother that I found someplace. A female parent providing parental stock, maternal tenderness or affection. A biblical mother is a mold for the spiritual lives of their children. Now look at that verse in 1 Timothy 5:1, if you would. Back to that one. Get my notes mixed up here, so I don't want to do that. I'm old and feeble, and if I don't have notes, I don't know what I'm doing. It says, notice, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Timothy's to remember his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. I don't know how many generations you can go back, but I can go back to my grandparents on my mother's side. I was alive and got to see both of them before they passed on. On my father's side, my grandpa and grandma both passed away before I ever got to see them. But I can go back, clear back to my grandma Carrie, Jessie Carrie, was my grandmother on my mother's side. I remember my grandmother. My grandmother was famous for one thing in my eyes. That was the $1 million fudge she made every year at Christmas and gave to us. My grandma had a little cooking place. I guess it was some type of shop, and she baked. But I remember her very well. Can you go back to the generation before your parents? Do you remember your grandma? How sacred and wonderful it is that I got to see my grandmother, got to know her, got to watch her, got to observe her. So I thank God for Timothy's grandmother. Her name here is Lois. And I thank God for my mother. I can remember her. I'm persuaded about things that she taught me. I was convinced and moved. I thank God for her. Listen, when families lose their foundation, society rapidly declines. I've watched the society. I was saved in 1960 and was active in a church right away. I mean, I got saved on a Tuesday night. I went back the next Sunday for Bible school and church and Sunday night services. And then I got baptized the next week, and I got active in the church. I tried to sing in a choir. I tried to clean the church. I did some of that. I cut the weeds down around the church. It got very active. I thank God for that. But listen, look around the world today. People are screaming for tolerance, yet not tolerating the name of Christ. Children are being taught about alternative lifestyles and other acts as if they were normal. Paul wrote both 1 and 2 Timothy to a young man from the city of Ephesus. That city was full of paganism. You know, paganism is just people that are irreligious. They're irreligious. They don't want nothing to do with religion. And we have that in our society. We have that today, people who are not interested in anything that's religious. And then there's hedonism. That's the doctrine that pleasure or happiness is the sole chief or purpose of life. We have a lot of people today that are involved in paganism and in hedonism. But I thank God for the teaching of the Bible. And listen, children are taught alternative lifestyles and other acts as if they were normal. Paul wrote 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy to a young man from the city of Ephesus. The city was full of paganism and hedonism. Many people live selfish, wicked lives without thought of Christ. Yet Paul recognized the godly upbringing that Timothy had. Let's look at Eunice's influence here, the mother. Notice it says, "And thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in thee also." Paul here is commending the grandma and the mother and asking Timothy to look back to his grandma and to his mother is what he's doing. Now, Eunice means good victory. I thank God for the victory that I've had since I met Jesus and my mother. I'm standing here probably today because of my mother, because my mother got saved. My mother walked in one Sunday morning. We didn't go to church. I wasn't raised in church. I thank God, and I look at Brother Preacher here's family and see them all here with you and hear of your sisters and brothers that serve the Lord and your dad who's here. That's wonderful to me. After I was in the ministry about 10, 15 years and my children began to leave, I wished I could have kept them with me and had them help me in the ministry. But my wife and I went on and did what we could, and sometimes the children did come and do different things. But I just thank God for the victory. Eunice means good victory. Let me ask you, are you having victory in your life? Are you striving to have victory? Have you had victory since you met Jesus Christ? You can be victorious, amen? I mean, you'll study the Bible and follow the Lord, follow your mother's teaching, and do what's right. You can be victorious. I thank God that that I got saved. When I got saved, I got active in the church, and right away I got really good influence. My pastor was a preacher, a man of God. He preached every Sunday morning a salvation message. On Sunday nights, he'd preach a Bible sermon, and then he would teach on Wednesday nights. But he taught us the Bible, amen. He taught us the Word of God, amen. Thank God for Brother Reyes teaching the Bible and preaching the Bible. Thank God for him, amen. Thank God for his wife and family and what they do. I'm saying, Liz, Eunice, she was persuasive. I'm persuaded, he said, because she was persuasive. Thank God that some people are persuasive. I've had people tell me, what's your opinion about so-and-so? And I said, I have this opinion. And they would take the Bible and show me what the Bible said. And I changed my opinion, amen. I wanted to be persuaded by the Bible, amen. I wanted to know the Bible. Now listen, Paul came to their city preaching. He led Timothy to Christ. 2 Timothy 2:1, he calls Timothy his son. Son in the faith. Do you have some sons and daughters or people that you've led to Christ? That they're your sons and your daughters in the gospel and the ministry. Listen, everybody here, if you're a Christian, you're meant to bring forth another Christian. Amen. That's the purpose of Christianity. Jesus chose men and trained them and sent them out, and they won people to Jesus Christ, and those people went around the world winning others to Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God that, listen, by the grace of God, I've had some really good influence. I've had some mentors that taught me how to soul win. And I've led a lot of folks, not bragging, but just stating it, that Christ used me to lead them to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm saying, listen, good victory. Listen, Timothy calls him a man of God in 1 Timothy 6:11. She had unfeigned faith. That means she had a belief or a confident attitude toward God. Do you have a positive attitude toward God, or do you have a negative attitude? You can have either of both. We should have a positive attitude toward God. We should develop faith, as you taught this morning in your Bible class on faith. Develop your faith, and God will use you. You can have a confidence toward God and a persuasion. Notice the word there in chapter 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance. Remembrance, this means to reflect. It means to recollect. It means to call back. What do you remember about your mother? I remember my mother's faith. Listen, her faith was imparted to Timothy. She displayed courage, loyalty, dependability. I remember my mother when I was a boy. I used to go home from practicing basketball. We'd get out at 5:30, and I'd go through a bunch of sagebrush, a little acreage there. My home was right down there. My mother was always in the kitchen window, silhouetted in the kitchen window. I remember that. My mother made an impression on me because she was always cooking, and we boys were always hungry. Thank God for the women that cook, I'm saying. Listen, did you know that Timothy was dragged to death? That's what tradition says. He's dragged to death in Ephesus. He stood and died for Christ. You know, Paul wrote 2 Timothy, Nero was on the rampage. It was a dangerous thing to confess Christ. In fact, he asked Timothy here to not to be ashamed. Here in chapter 1, when you read down through it, you find he asked Timothy not to be ashamed. And we have a problem with being ashamed of Jesus today, being ashamed to speak up, being ashamed to say something, being ashamed to stand out. We want to be in the crowd. We want to be accepted. We want to be accepted. But the Bible says we're not to be ashamed, amen? Have you witnessed anybody this week? This week I went through Smith's check stand in Los Lunas, and we bought some groceries, and there's a man there that had a cross on with the Jesus on the cross. Now listen, Jesus is not on the cross no more. I don't wear crosses with Jesus on it. He came down off the cross, amen? But I talked to the young man there. I said, listen, that's a nice cross you got. And I said, listen, if you died, would you go to heaven? Right in the check stand. I asked him, right in the check stand. You can do that if you'll work at it and practice at it and not be ashamed of Jesus. Amen. And he thought, well, he thought he was all right. And I said, if you died, would you go to heaven? He said, I think I would. And I gave him a track and went on because we were in the line there. Amen. But I'm saying, let's don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Now, there was also Eunice there. No, Lois, grandmother. Lois means agreeable. She helped Timothy be established in the faith. She encouraged him. Thank God for my grandmother, who I used to go visit them later in life. They moved to the town where my mother and dad were and got a little house uptown, and I used to go by there and visit them and talk with them. What a wonderful testimony they were. You know, I thank God, Father God, for the mother that I had. And my mother walked in one day. We were not a church-going family. My dad was moral. My mother was moral. They were good, moral people. They didn't allow liquor in the house. My cousins used to come. They'd bring liquor, and my mom would make them keep it outside. Also, your mother did that, remember? And that's my wife's sister and her mother, Dorothy. My wife and I got to lead her to Jesus Christ, and she changed from a Lutheran to a Baptist church. And so, but I'm saying, listen, I've had some great teachers. Most of you here probably know Dr. Jack Howells. If you know Dr. Jack Howells, raise your hand. Okay, good. A lot of you know him. Here's a graduate over there, right? Now listen, Dr. Jack Howells was a paratrooper in World War II. He played on the Special Troops Battalion team. The star team of the 82nd Airborne Division had 50,000 troops at Fort Benning. He was the all-star pitcher. They played the 7th Army playoffs. They won the championship at Fort Benning. After they had won, their Colonel Hallman was so proud of them, he decided to have a party to celebrate their victory. Jack went because he was the number one preacher. The colonel passed out the wine and handed each player a cup. Dr. Jack Howells turned his cup upside down on the table. The colonel himself served the wine. He said to Jack, "Are you going to drink the wine?" He said, "No, sir, no, sir." The colonel said, "I command you to drink wine." "No, sir, no, sir." He said, "I command you, as your superior officer, to drink the wine." He said, "Sir, I have a superior officer." He said, "Who's that?" He said, my mommy told me not to drink liquor. She told me that God told her to tell me not to drink liquor. And Dr. Jack Howells, they took him down and tried to force liquor down his mouth. And he said, "You can't force it down a preacher when he's loudmouthed and when he's got strong jaws." What a testimony. My mother. I thank God for great men of God in the past. Did you know that Dr. Jack Howells ran 20,000 people at Sunday school in the mornings? 20,000 people. Did you know he had the world's largest Baptist church? The world's. Did you know that he won over 1 million souls to Jesus Christ? I heard him say that in pastor school one time I was there. What a man. What a man to influence you. But I thank God for his great mother. His mother said, when he was 5 years old, his dad left home. His dad was a drunk. His dad left home. His mother raised him from 5 years old on up. When she saw a pitcher of liquor in a newspaper, she would tear it out and put it on the floor. And she would tell her little son, "Go over there and stamp on that and say, no, no, bad, 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 no, 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 bad, bad." Probably that's the reason why he never drank liquor when he got away from the home. Amen. I'm saying, listen, thank God for mothers. As I said, my mother walked in. I was probably about 16 or 17 years old, and my mother walked in one morning. She'd been to church with my sister. And my mother came right over and told me, "I got saved." I said, "You got what?" She said, "I got saved." I said, "What'd you get saved from?" She said, "Hell." I said, "I didn't know you were going to hell." Now, I had been told to go to hell many times because I was unsaved and I ran with people that were not good people. So my mother just told me, "I'm going to pray for you. I'm praying for you." Amen. I thank God I'm standing here today, I think, because of my mother's prayers. Amen. My mother's testimony. I'm saying, listen, you know, I thank God for Lois or Eunice. You know, I believe there's some other women. I believe the queen. There was a queen among women. It said of her that who can find a virtuous woman? It's in Solomon. I won't have you turn there, but it's in Solomon. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Her own works praise her. In the gates, Proverbs 10, 30, and 31. I'm saying her children rose up and called her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Psalms 31, 28. The queen among women. The Bible says that she was, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs 31, 30. I'm saying, listen, she was a virtuous woman. What's it mean to be virtuous? It means to be morally excellent. Morally excellent. What does it mean to have morals? It means morals. It means to have a standard of right behavior in your life. Build your life on this Word of God, and it'll give you right behavior. It'll teach you right behavior. It'll teach you how to live. It'll teach you how to face life. I'm saying, listen, you know, virtue is actually brought down to one word in the Bible, holy. She was a holy woman, amen? Oh, we need holy women in America today. We need mothers who are holy, amen? Righteous and godly. Christian virtuousness, adhering to the standard of conduct set down by the Bible, the Word of God, is the final authority. This book right here is the final authority, amen? I thank God for that we have a book, the Bible, the Word of God, the King James Bible, the only Bible, amen? That's the Word of God, completely. I thank God we have it. You know, mother is the sweetest word in language, as far as I'm concerned. I used to work in the grocery store for about 6 or 8 years, and grocery line, I had a section, I stocked it, and I was also trained to check the people out and stuff like that. And I used to, once in a while in the aisle, there were a little kid come around the corner and say, Mommy, Mommy! I thank God for little children, how they're attached to their mother, amen, when they're little. Mommy, Mommy! Do you know when we had little children, and I thank God for Terry, my son, who's here to honor his mother, and Jackie, and Jake. Jake, he's taller than I am now. I looked at him and said, you're still growing. He said, yeah, you're shrinking. I said, oh, okay. But you know what we used to do? When we had little kids, and they were little, we'd say, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And we'd, you know, rub their belly, make them laugh and play with them. Or we'd say, Daddy, say Daddy, say Daddy. You know, most of my kids learned to say Mommy first. I don't know why, but they did. They learned to say Mommy first. You know, Solomon had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. 1 Kings 11:3. I better look at the watch here, hadn't I, brother? Your clock's gone, brother. It used to be up there. But anyway, I'm about done. He had hundreds of women about him. He learned a great deal about their influence. One woman turned his heart away from God. She had him build a temple. And that temple, she built an altar that had a big mouth on it. And they would bring their babies and cast their babies up on that mouth. And if the baby got back in the fire, was burnt to death, they believed their sins were sacrificed or paid for. That's what one of the women that he lived with as a wife did. I'm saying, listen, thank God for mother's teaching. Look at 2 Timothy 3, and I'm going to close on this here. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. I thank God for mothers who teach their children. Teach them the Ten Commandments. Get the Ten Commandments like was in my home when I was a child and growing up. When I come out of my bedroom, right there on the wall was the Ten Commandments. I never did memorize them, but I read them every once in a while. What an effect they had upon me. I wonder how many of you children here know the Ten Commandments, or your mothers and dads know the Ten Commandments. You know, that had an effect on me. I couldn't, you know, I didn't understand them, but they were there, you know. The Ten Commandments. I wonder if you know what they are. I wonder if you're acquainted with them. Let me give you just a few of them here real quickly. Like, I have them here on a piece of paper. I read a book just recently by a man on the Ten Commandments. Boy, did I enjoy it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, number one. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. And by the way, I read the New Testament where Jesus taught the disciples, thou shalt not, he didn't say that, he gave them the Ten Commandments one time, but he didn't say thou shalt not kill. He says, thou shalt not murder. The Bible doesn't say that we can't protect ourselves. It doesn't say that we can't use a gun and defend our country. Some people need to be taken out of America because they don't believe in defense, amen? But I'm just saying, and then, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. I remember reading that when I was a boy, thou shalt not steal. Well, that put something in my consciousness, you know, not stealing. I don't say I didn't ever steal, but I thank God that I never got put in jail. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the last one, thou shalt not covet. But I'm saying, listen, thank God for mothers, amen. You know, Pompeii, an ancient Roman city on the Bay of Naples, was buried in volcanic rock. and ashes in 79 AD. Its existence was completely forgotten for a few years at the time it was destroyed. There was about 20,000 people there. Later, the city was excavated, and because it lay undisturbed, it gave the world a precise knowledge of how its inhabitants lived. Excavators found a young child with an arm out like this as they began to dig the ashes in the rock away from her. So one of the fellows said there must be someone in that direction. So they dug about 5 feet and they found a mother, they said, with her arms extended back to the girl. She was reaching out to her mother. I've reached out to my mother, my sisters used to say I was my mother's pet. That was spoiled. But I always said, well, Dad spoiled my sister. And he did. None of you, of course, were ever spoiled, you know, or given favor. But I'm saying, listen, thank God for mothers. Thank God for mothers. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, it says here in 14 where we're at, and it says, thou hast been assured of and known of whom thou hast known them, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Wise unto salvation. Are you saved? Well, this is Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not might be saved, not hope you'll be saved, not maybe you'll be saved. It says, thou shalt be saved. I thank God that I called on Christ in 1960 with my mother's prayers behind me and asked Jesus to save me. And Jesus saved me that very moment. I had a new birth. I was born again. I was regened. I was put into the family of God. Amen. I thank God for the 59 years I've been saved. I haven't been what I should be all the time and accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, but I thank God that you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should teach our children, teach them to keep their body clean, teach them to obey mother and dad, teach them to work. My mother made me work. I had to go out in a little patch and turn the dirt over and help her plant a garden. And I had to help slaughter the chickens. She always got about 25 fryers and raised them up and slaughtered them, canned them in jars, stuff like that. And she took the stuff out of the garden and canned them. We had a little cellar in the bottom of our house, and we had canned stuff in there. We didn't go to the grocery store for our vegetables. We ate those canned vegetables that Mom warmed up. What a mother, amen? I'm saying, listen, I wonder if you taught your children how to be saved, if you prepared them to be saved. Mothers, thank God for you. Let's bow our heads for prayer.